I have my January 1st message. So I gave everybody else their shot, so I guess it's time for me to shoot my shot, amen? And so what we want to talk about today is a new beginning is impossible without God. I mean, either way you look at it, you know, it's impossible without God. And the reason it's impossible without God is because the Bible says that God makes all things new. So to start something over again or to start a new beginning, that means something has to come to an end. So and usually I'm starting to find out the end is the end of you or the end of me. I'm not going to preach to you. I'm going to preach to myself today. The end of me. When I come to my wit's end, I have to die, and then something else is birthed again out of my death. Amen. So something dies, and then something new comes alive. And so what we're going to look at is in Genesis chapter 6. But every year we're talking about a new beginning, because the year before, something was holding us down. And I can see in some of y'all's face, the first couple of Sundays, everybody was excited. It was 2018. But it looked like now some of us are back in 2017 mode. And let me tell you, that's fast. Because usually it don't happen until March, April, or May. And now you start feeling like you were feeling the year before. Some of us, we haven't even made it out of 1 month. And so what happens is just like this. The same old things, we're going to say these are weights. They're not weights. They're actually the tablecloths. And somebody probably washed them, and thank you for it. But I'm fixing to get them dirty again. The same thing that was holding you down in 2017, and I don't know about you. I'm not speaking for you. I'm going to speak for me. Because there's some things that I never would have made it in 2017 if it wasn't for God. And these things start to hold weigh you down. And then we get to December. We know, you know, when it hit December, it's a new year right around the corner. So you get kind of come out of your depression, or was that just me? And then you kind of, you know, it's December, and you got a little weight back, got a little fight back in your legs, and so you're waiting for New Year's, then December 30th, then December 31st strikes, and it's New Year's. And in New Year's, you take all of this stuff and that you had on in 2017, and you put it, and you say, I'm through with it. And so I'm getting rid of all of these problems, attitudes, anger, resentment, medical condition, finances, whatever it is, spousal problems, problems with the kids. I'm getting rid of all of this, and I'm going to give it to God. And God is always open to take everything that's weighing you down, everything that's hurting you, all of the things that you consider trash, God is there with open arms and he's waiting to take it. And you get rid of it and you got the right idea. You're trying to give it to God and you think you gave it to God and you drop it and you take off running in 2018 because you're so excited about the future. The future holds something new. It's a hope stirred up inside of you. And your dreams, your vision is coming back alive. And you gave all of that trash away. You happy you made it through 2017. I gave this mess to God. And then a few months later, you start to feel it again. You start to feel that stuff back on you again. And it's starting to weigh on you again. And you're thinking, man, I thought I gave that to God, but I'm saying I still got the same language. I'm still cussing. I'm still arguing. I'm still feeling depressed. I'm still feeling discouraged. And now all of this stuff is back on you again in a matter of months. You haven't even made it through. You know what happened? You didn't put it in God's hand. See, you got to deal with right here, right now, and it has to be dealt with right. You got to make sure you have put it in God's hand. You have to have a made up in your heart and made up in your mind that I'm through with that. I'm through with that. So sometimes you're so eager to get to the future that you're not dealing with your right here and your right now. And you miss it. So what we need to find out is God's formula for a new beginning. We need to, and let me tell you, I'm talking to me. I have to find God's formula in his word for a new beginning. The reason we don't find God's formula for the new beginning in his word is because we're not operating in a godly relationship with him. See, a godly relationship means that you spend time with the Father. You conversate with the Father. You let him know what's going on with you, and then you sit down and you wait for him to tell you how to respond to it. There's no better picture in the Bible than in Genesis chapter 6. And in Genesis chapter 6, let's go there. God is tired of mankind. He's tired of mankind. He's tired of dealing with the flesh. And let me tell you, he's not talking about the physical body. He's talking about our way of thinking. The flesh is your way of thinking. It's not the acts that you do. You're going to say, well, because I drink a beer, I'm in the flesh. No, that's not true. Because I'm smoking cigarettes, I'm in the flesh. Because I'm stealing, because I'm lying, because I'm cheating, I'm in the flesh. No, that's not true. You're in the flesh because of your way of thinking. You are not thinking the way God thinks. Adam was in the flesh when he took from Eve and ate. He was in the flesh. He was in the flesh because he knew better. God told him not to do it. So now God, here we are a couple of chapters later, and God is still dealing with the same problem that he dealt with Adam and Eve. And if these problems are not dealt with, they become contagious. Just like the flu is running rapid right now. That means it's contagious. That means if he can have the flu and he can come in and start coughing in here, he can get up and go to the bathroom and not wash his hands, come out, touch the doorknob. I can go right behind him, touch the same doorknob, get home, not wash my hands, eat something. I have the same germ that he has. Sooner or later, when that germ gets down inside of me, I'm going to be in the same condition that he's in. That's what's wrong with mankind in Genesis chapter 6. They have not dealt with this issue of thinking, their way of thinking. So all of mankind is doing whatever they want to do apart from God. Do y'all understand? So mankind is having a ball, or so they think. And so God has a conversation with Noah. And let me tell you something about Noah. He's doing the same thing everybody else is doing. But it's one thing that he's doing that they're not doing. Even though he's there with them, he's just like them. It's something that God recognizes in Noah that he don't see it in anybody else on the face of the planet. And you know what that is? That no matter how bad his condition is, it's something in his heart that's connected to God. And it was considered as righteousness. God knew when he saw Noah that when I speak to him, he'll respond. Do any of you have that? Can you honestly say that when God speaks to you, you respond? So God speaks to Noah, and he tells him, hey, man, I'm kind of having a problem with mankind. I love them, but I can't keep dealing with these issues. See, sometimes we got issues inside of us that need to be dealt with before God will deal with them. Because even though he have grace and mercy on every one of us, there are some things that he have to deal with that when he, you better deal with it yourself before he come deal with it. So he tells Noah, hey, I'm having a problem with mankind and I'm about to destroy all of mankind. So what you do, the Bible say Noah found favor in God's eyes. Wasn't you talking about favor a while ago? See, favor comes out of your relationship, not out of what you do. See, you think because you go to work, because you pay your tithes, because you come do church cleanup, because you do the little extra, you'll sell 10 plates if we have a plate sale, you think that that makes you righteous. Righteousness comes out of your relationship with God. That's what makes you righteous. And that God knows that because you have that relationship, and even though you're messed up, and even though you think you're connected to the rest of the world, that when I speak to you, you'll come out of the world and over into where I am. That's what makes you righteousness. That's what makes righteousness. And righteousness is what gives you favor with God. Righteousness is what gives you favor with God. And it's not about are you messed up or not. All of us are messed up. Let me tell you, you can't go through holiness without going through the landfill. You can't walk into holiness without going through the landfill. The landfill is where you find out who you are. God already knows who you are. You know, like when they pick up all the trash from the neighborhood and they take the dump truck and dump it in the landfill? You cannot get to holiness without going through that. Because God is trying to show you who you are. And when you come out of that landfill, you'll be so happy to get out of it that you'll be looking for a Holy Ghost shower. So that's where we are right here. Watch this. We're going to start at verse 13. It says, then God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. The violence is God is trying to get them to think one way, and they're thinking another way. We think the violence is people are killing each other, raping and robbing and stealing. You got that from the movies. When you saw the Noah's Ark or the Bible on TV or something. But that's not necessarily true. Everything starts in your way of thinking. Everything starts in our way of thinking. You'll never hit Carlos if you're not thinking about hitting Carlos. You'll never steal from Carlos unless you're thinking about stealing from Carlos. It's everything starts in our mind. So God is saying that the earth is filled with people that are not thinking like he's thinking. So when a man does not think like God, he's left to his own devices. And we can come up with some stuff. Now, I don't know about you. You'll lie because it's Sunday. And you're sitting in a building that you call church. Well, I've come to understand that this is just a building. I'm supposed to be the church. So you'll lie. You won't say how wicked you really are. But I'm going to tell you, I can get there. And I can get there real fast without God. That's where the people are in Genesis chapter 6. You understand? Everybody is doing their own thing. And they're doing it when they want to, how they want to, and God is fed up with it. Okay? Now look at what it says. He says, make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms and shall cover it inside and out with pitch. Ain't it funny how when God speaks to you, he begins to give you instructions? Yes, so God is not just going to tell you anything and just leave you to go do what you want to do. He Every word of God is followed up with instructions. Maybe you're not getting the instructions part of it, because as soon as he speaks, you start doing what you want to do. You don't wait for God to finish what he's saying. So watch what it, watch what happened right here. He says, this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark is 300 cubits. The breadth, 50 cubits. Now, I'm just going to say, I don't know how long a cubit is. I'm going to say, now, I'm just saying, I'm going to say, let's say one cubit is 1 mile. No, let's say 100 yards. So it's 300 yards long. That's 300 football fields. And it's 50 cubits wide. That's 50 football fields wide. I'm saying it how I want to say it. I'm not asking you. Didn't I say I don't know? I'm saying it how I want. Let's just say it this way. See, that's what's wrong. You don't listen to God. You want to correct God. He's trying to. Courtney, I'm saying 300 football fields long and 50 football fields wide, okay? That's what I'm saying, okay? Now, this is not an overnight job. This is not a one-year job. I think it took Noah, if I'm not mistaken, I think it took him, what, 100? 120, 110 years to build this thing. So that's how big it is. So now you know Noah is doing his work. And you know he's getting discouraged. You know he's getting depressed. But you know it's people that's looking at him and they calling him a fool. It ain't gonna never work. He doing this. Man, you stupid. It ain't never rained and blah, 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 blah. So you know you got your naysayers. So write this down. Anytime God is doing something, and anytime God is trying to change your way of thinking, let's put it like that. Anytime God is trying to change your way of thinking, you're going to always have naysayers. The devil and his army is always going to try to tell you it's not going to work. God don't know what he's talking about. It's a half a football field. It's a half a football field. Okay, now watch what happens right here. It says, you shall make a window for the ark and finish it to a cubit from the top and set a door of the ark in the side of it. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. See, God is giving you instructions. God is always giving us instructions. That's why we got to teach our kids, stop being hard-headed. I got one head as hard as these bricks right here. You tell us one thing, go on and do something else. Like, you haven't said nothing. And I'm like, hey, what's wrong with you? Do you hear? I mean, are you hearing what I'm telling you? Okay. That's how we are with God. And when she do me like that, I'm looking and I'm saying, God, am I really that bad? And he say, why you think she's doing you like that? But God is always trying to give us instructions. And the instructions are specific. He's not leaving room for Noah to do what Noah want to do. And if you're going to grab a hold to a new beginning, you got to stop doing what you want to do. No matter how difficult it seems, no matter how crazy it sounds, no matter how much other people go against it, no matter how much other people don't get involved with what you're doing, they're not trying to help you out, they're not trying to support you, they're not trying to be a part of it, you got to forget about everybody else. As long as it's you and God, you're on the winning team. As long as it's you and God, you're on the winning team. God wants to use you to say, to rescue somebody from destruction. But he's never going to go outside of you and your household. It all starts with you and your household. God is fixing to replenish the earth with just Noah and his household and the few animals that he called to get on the boat. God is trying to give us a new way of living in 2018. But are we willing to listen to God and follow the instructions that he's about to give us? The instructions, everybody's not going to be pleased. I know I have to make some decisions that everybody is not going to be pleased with them. But you know what I've come to make up in my mind? I don't care. I don't care. I'm going to do what I have to do because to me, I'm responsible for too many people's spiritual welfare. And one day, if I don't do what God tells me to do, I'm going to be held responsible. When I go stand before God, I got to answer to why didn't you do what I told you? I'm no different than you. He's trying to give every one of us a new beginning. And not just the New Year's. Every day he's trying to give us a new beginning. See, you don't have to wait till January 1st to start anew. What's the date? The 21st? You can start anew tomorrow. You can start anew when you get up and walk out of here. You can sit there where you are right now and tell God, I want a new beginning. I let 2017 creep back up on me that fast, God. Today, I want a new beginning. Amen. A matter of fact, let's all just say it. Say, I let 2017 creep back up on me this fast. Today, Lord, I want a new beginning. I want a new mindset. Everything new coming to me starts with my way of thinking. If my way of thinking don't change, nothing about me changes. Now I see how 2017 came back in. Help me with it, Lord. All right, now let's kick off. Okay? And then he said, behold, I am bringing the flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh. See, to have a new beginning, you got to destroy some stuff. You can't just sit it down. You can't just put it down and say, I'm not going to touch it. I'm not going to look back at it. Because sooner or later, when those old way of thinking come, when the enemy come, when the people start laughing at you because you building an ark and it ain't rained in 20 years, and you building a boat, and you telling them that God is going to destroy the earth, and they say, well, God, what we just, I don't think that's God. Because God haven't even kept his first promise yet. That he's going to fill the earth. You know, because it's something about your way of thinking. It will always make you question God. Let me tell you why. Because for there is no intimacy. There is no real relationship. That's why we question God. So watch what it says right here. It says, but I will establish my covenant with you. So God wants to have a covenant. He wants to make a deal. He wants to work something out with us. He says, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. He say, and every living thing of flesh, you shall bring two of every kind into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds after their kind and of the animals after their kind. of every creeping thing of the ground after its kind. Two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. Look at God's love. As for you, take for yourselves some of all food which is edible and gather it to yourself, and it shall be for food for you and for them. Thus Noah did according to all that God had commanded him. Number one, all new beginnings start with destroying everything in our lives that was no good for us in 2017. So what we'll say today, when we walk out of here and we go evaluate ourselves, let's think like this. What have I been doing? Who have I been hanging with? What have I been thinking that was no good for me today? Today. And then tonight, you got to make a decision. Am I tired of living like that? Or do I want to continue being miserable? If I'm tired of living like that, then I'm making a conscious decision right here, right now. God, I'm giving this to you for you to destroy it. See, the problem with that is most of us are comfortable with the very thing that's holding us down. Even though it makes you miserable, you're comfortable with it. Because for something to be destroyed, that means you got to step into the unknown. And to step into the unknown, that means you got to put your life and everything that you are and everything that you have, you got to put it in God's hands. And you got to trust him. See, it was something inside of Noah in the beginning that God saw inside of him, that God knew that once he told Noah to do it, Noah would do it because he believed him and he trusted him. Can you really say you're living like you trust God? I mean, how many of us in here can say, you know what, every day I wake up, I'm living like I'm not saying you believe in him. I know you believe in him or you wouldn't be sitting here. See, it's a difference between believing in him and trusting him wholeheartedly. How many of us can say, I trust him wholeheartedly with my whole life? But we say we're Christians. See, maybe, just maybe, that God is the things that we're battling with the most are tools that God is trying to use to teach us how to trust him. And if you would just give it up and say, I recognize you, God. See, it was something that God said, and it was said to everybody. But because Noah responded to it, it was accounted to him as righteousness. It's something that God is telling all of us in here, right now. And some of you are hearing it, but are you going to respond to it? Because responding to it makes you leave the old and grab something new. And the new is unfamiliar. It's uncomfortable. You have to learn how to live all over again when you're dealing with something new. You have to learn how it works. Okay, watch with it. When God says he's destroying all flesh in our days, he is referring to our way of thinking, opposite of his way of thinking. So how am I supposed to know how God thinks? You know how God thinks through prayer. You learn how God thinks through prayer. You learn how God thinks through reading your Bible. You learn how God thinks by sometimes cutting that TV off and just sitting there being quiet. You learn how God thinks by being around other godly people. You're never going to learn how God thinks hanging with the devil. You're never going to learn how God thinks. So sometimes you got to cut loose some people. How do I know how God thinks? Through your relationship with him. Look, all Adam did was he would be in the garden in the place where God had him to be. And every day, somehow, God would show up. When God would show up, somehow Adam could understand what God was thinking. And it's proven in Genesis when God would bring the animals to Adam, and he would name them. And the Bible says that whatever Adam named it, it was so. What was Adam doing special that we're not doing? Those are questions you got to ask yourself. I'm asking myself because I'm evaluating myself. And I'm going to tell you one of them is that he's just spending time with God. Sometimes I'm too busy for God. I'm too busy watching TV. I'm too busy doing other things that I'm saying is God. And I know some of the stuff God didn't tell me to do. Well, we got to work nowadays. Adam had to work too. Adam had responsibilities. He wasn't just there asleep all day hanging out in the garden. He had responsibilities just like me and you. But in the midst of all of that, see, God will show up when you're doing your responsibilities. God will show up with you on your job. Amen. God will show up with you in the grocery store. There's nowhere that you can go that God is not at. The problem is are we attentive to God? Do we have our hearts set on pleasing God or pleasing ourselves? See, the reason God spoke to Adam and everybody else missed the conversation is because they were too busy pleasing themselves. God said, I'm about to destroy the earth. To destroy means to put an end to the existence of something by damaging it or attacking it. So God is saying that everything that was created had become his enemy. Okay, if you're looking for a new beginning, have those things that were holding you back in 2017 become your enemies? Oh, or were you held back in 2017? Or in 2017, were you all that God created you to be? Was it some things holding you back? Are you tired of being held back? If you're tired of being held back, God has given us the formula right here. The first thing we need to do is work on our relationship with him. And the only way you can work on your relationship with God and you know your relationship have not been right is to repent. It's to repent. The first thing you got to do to repent is you got to acknowledge that you were wrong and God is right. That's the beginning of all repentance. You can't make an excuse for the way you are. I can't make an excuse for the way I am. I have to say, God, I'm wrong and you're right. I'm wrong because I'm not thinking the way you're thinking. Whether it's because I don't know how you think, I don't know who you are, I'm intentionally doing what I want to do, all of that makes no difference. Even if it's out of ignorance, it don't make any difference because you shouldn't be ignorant. Even if you don't know how to read and write, you don't have an excuse not to know God's voice. Even if we don't know how to read and write, you don't have an excuse not to know God's voice. You know what? You know how to get on your knees and open your mouth and talk. And if you truly believe that he is God and that he loves you and cares for you, if you really believe that his son died on the cross for you, then you shouldn't have no problem getting on your knees talking to him. So now we got to go into our belief system. Do you really believe? See, to grab something new, you're going to have to do something that you're not used to doing. And let me tell you, I hate saying I'm wrong. I hate it with a passion. But when I'm wrong, like the prodigal son, and when I come to my senses, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I don't have no problem with saying I'm wrong. You know why I don't have no problem saying I'm wrong? Because I know the power of forgiveness. Yes. Because forgiveness washes you white as snow. It's like it has never happened before. But if you have a problem with saying I'm wrong, you don't have the ability to repent. Anybody that cannot say I'm wrong can't repent. If you cannot take responsibility for your own actions, you can't repent. You have to go before God and say, man, I'm wrong. And I'm wrong because I don't think like you think, or I just want to do my own thing. See, but we're going to see in here, doing your own thing will get you in trouble. Yes, sir. It'll get you in trouble. So watch this. Some of us need to attack that thing inside that have been holding us back, keeping us from being all that God wants us to be. See, God have a plan and a purpose for your life. And some of you, you can't lie to God and say, I don't know what you say I'm like. You know why? Because the day that you receive Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior, you heard God. That was Him calling you. That was Him calling you to accept Jesus. You didn't just accept Jesus because you wanted to. It was something pressing in on you. And then you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Watch this. We need to attack bitterness. Some of us need to attack unforgiveness. Some of us need to attack anger. Lust, lying, stealing. I don't know what your problem is. And it's not for me to pull your problem up. It's for you to get on your computer and pull your problem up. It's for you. I know what my problem is. I don't need somebody to help me find out what's wrong with Kurt. I don't need to go to a doctor to tell me what's wrong. I know exactly what's wrong with Kurt. He's sick and he needs Jesus. So everything across the board, Kurt have it. But I know how to go to my father and tell him, hey, man, I'm sick, man. And when you really get sick enough, I don't care how much you hate going to the doctor, you're going to go. You're going to go. And let me tell you like this. If you really have Jesus alive and living inside of you, if Jesus really is really alive inside of you, you can't help but go to the doctor sometime. You can fight it. You know, like I was telling y'all a couple of weeks ago, I was mad at God. I didn't want to hear from God. And man, I'm telling you, my life was so bad. And I'm talking about I couldn't hardly get up out of the bed. And I couldn't hardly get. And then if I get out of the bed, I come home, go back to sleep till it's time to get Adrian. And man, I'm so tired. And I said, man, I know this is not how I want to live. But I'm just not going to talk to God right now because I'm mad. I'm mad. And it's okay to be like that with God. And I don't want to have nothing to do with God. I'm mad right now. And man, God, why is all of this happening to me? Why is it me every time, every day, always me? And I'm in a pity party. So I don't want to go to God. I'm comfortable in my pity party. But when I got sick enough, when, you know, I told Deborah, you start seeing them little lint things, you can, I don't know, if you got diabetes, you know what I'm talking about. When your sugar get high, you start seeing something moving in the room, it just, like the whole, like it's snowing in here. And I said, man, I'm going blind. You know what I mean? I'm going blind. And God was saying, you can stay there and be hard-headed all you want to. And when I thought I was going blind, and I couldn't get out of the bed and couldn't sleep at night because you're constantly going back to the bathroom. Every 30 minutes, you just up. And I, man, Lord, I was laying there in the bed. I turned my head to the wall. I said, Lord, please, man, I'm sorry. I said, God, you're not even the problem. I am. I know you love me because you would still allow me to wake up every day. Even as ugly as I'm being towards you, you still wake me up every day. You still provide for my family. You still make a way for me out of no way. The problem is not you, Lord. The problem is me. And the problem is I want something that you don't want me to have right now, or you want me to have it, and I'm not ready for it. So it has nothing to do with you, and it's all about me. And it just seemed like something my mind started, the way I was thinking started to change, and it's still clearing up because I was like that for all 2017 fighting with God. I'm just being honest. I could get up and come up here and preach the message because the word is not mine. I don't own it. God owns it. So he sends you what you need, but I'm not getting anything out of it because me and God have issues. And when I repented, I could start to see again. I don't see the snow falling in the room, and I'm still, some things are kind of blurry. Because God is still trying to get me to let some of it go. He still wants me to let some of it go. And even though I want to let it go, I want to let it go. What's his name on Charlie Brown? Linus said like to drag that blanket around. Oh, dirty blanket. But I want to let it go. Because I know the blanket don't even fit me anymore. That's how the people were in Genesis chapter 6. God is saying, I don't want to destroy you. I don't want you to live a life separated from me. But sometimes I got to do what I got to do. But God is right now, he's saying, is it one righteous man that believe me, that believe in me, they believe me, and they trust me with their whole life? He said, if that's you, you can have a new beginning today. If it's you, you can have a new beginning today. You don't have to wait till next year. Number two, new beginnings are always accompanied with instructions from God. It's always instructions. He's telling you exactly what he's telling us exactly what we need to do. You don't come to church to get that. You don't come to church to get that. That's intimacy. That's between you and your God. Because he's trying to make you and to deliver you and your family. That's like when they told the Philippian jailer, he said, you and your whole household will be saved. But the Philippian jailer had to get instructions from God. And the only way he could get the instructions was through his relationship with him. So guess what he did? He opened the jail cell and let Paul and them out. See, every new beginning is going to have instructions. Let me tell you. When God told Noah to go get the gopher wood, if he would have went and got cottonwood, he wouldn't have got any more instructions. If he would have went and got cedar, if he would have went and got pine, if he would have went and got hardwood, he wouldn't have got any more instructions. What are you doing your own way? And that's why God is not giving any more instructions. See, nothing is changing, but it is changing. Noah is doing what he's told to do. And although the world can't see any results, God is seeing the results. Noah is seeing the results because he knows every day this thing is getting a little bit longer. It's getting a little bit wider. I'm putting a little bit more pitch down. Every day it's starting to look like something. It's starting to take shape. In the beginning, it don't have any shape. You're just laying boards down. You're just laying boards down. You're just laying boards down. And sometimes you can get tired of doing the same thing over and over, and you don't see any results. The result is in God's word, not in what you can see. Oh. The results come out of God's word, not in what you can see. All you do is keep doing what he's telling you to do. No matter how you feel about it, you can get up sick. You can be discouraged, but don't give up. You keep believing what he told you. Keep believing what he told you. Keep believing what he told you. It's going to change. It's going to turn around. You don't turn it around. He do. When you understand your only job is to obey, when we understand our only job, the only thing we're responsible for is obedience. God got everything else. Not whether your sons or daughters obey. If you read in here, go home and read it. He told Noah that he was going to save his sons and daughters, right? You don't hear nothing else about the sons and daughters until they all getting back on the boat. Till they all getting on the boat. You don't see where his sons and them were cutting wood. You don't see where they were making pitch. You don't see any of that. You hear God tell them, you and your sons and daughters are going to be saved. Y'all are going to get on this boat. Noah worked for all these years. And I would, honestly, I would have been mad at my kids. And then all of a sudden we get this thing built. And God say, start loading it up. And here they come. See, the problem with us is we worried about what everybody else is doing. I need you to come help me with this. I need you to come help me. I need you to be a part of it. And God is saying, no. I want you to do it. I want you to do it. They can get on board later on, but right now you got a job to do. And let me tell you, anytime you're the head of your household, men, you got a job to do. And your job is doing what God tells you to do it the way God tells you to do it. Regardless if anybody else is on the side of you or not, you better be doing your job. If you really love them, you'll do your job. If you really love them, you'll be chopping that wood. If you really love them, you'll be making that pitch. If you really love them, it'd be some days you don't want to go and you can't go. You just got to lay there and cry and pray that God do it himself. Some days you got to get up sick and all. If you really love them, you're going to do what you're supposed to do. And that's obey God. Same with the woman. You got instructions too. You got instructions too. Noah wasn't to come home and cook. Noah wasn't to come home and clean the house. He'd been working all day cutting wood, laying out wood, tying stuff together. That wasn't his job to come home and be the mama too. Everybody got instructions. Everybody got a part to play in salvation. Now, you got to ask yourself, am I an ark builder or not? Or am I going to keep on keeping on carrying all of this dead weight along with me? And I know it's going to kill me sooner or later. I know it's going to kill me. It's got me stressed out. I'm weighed down. I'm not even happy with myself anymore. And I don't know what's wrong with me. Some days I'm having a good day. Some days I'm having a bad day. You know what it is? You won't follow instructions. You won't lay your burdens down. You won't just simply be the person that God has called you to be. And whenever you're trying to be something that you're not supposed to be, it's going to be tough on you. Okay, watch this. See, instructions were not just for Noah, but also for his family. But the instructions were not just for Noah and his family, but anyone that would listen to the message and believe in the message that the message was from God. Let me say it again. The Noah message was not just for Noah, but for Noah and his whole family. Then the message was not just for Noah and his family. It was for everybody on the face of the planet. That's why it took so long to build the ark. God was given an opportunity to repent. And out of all those years, guess what they were doing? They were laughing at him. He don't know what he's talking about. That's not how we grew up. We grew up, you could do what you want to do. We grew up, all you had to do was bring a sacrifice. We grew up, all you had to do was sell 20 breads. And sell 20 breads, 20 keychains. And at Christmas time, sell your wreaths and coffee money. That's how we grew up. We're good. As long as I show up and I get involved. No, God is not, he don't want you to just be a follower. He's trying to make you a leader. See, because to me, I think like this. It's a ministry in every person sitting in here, even the kids. It's a ministry in them. It don't have to be the same as my ministry. It's enough unsaved people around here. God can make up new ministries. The problem with us is everybody want to do what the next person is doing because they got the pattern for perfection. God has given the pattern for perfection right here. If you just follow the instructions. And the main instruction he's giving you is start with working on your relationship with him. Once you learn how to hear his voice, he'll give you further instructions. Oh. Watch this. The instructions that God gives us are no good if you're not going to apply them to your life daily. See, every day Noah had to wake up with that 300 football fields, 50 football fields. One window. Every day, Noah had to have that in his mind. You know what God is telling us? You got to meditate on his word day and night. If you let something else creep in, you're going to change the blueprint. You're going to change the blueprint of how to build it. If you listen to the devil, the blueprint is going to change. It don't have to be 300. It can be 290. You got to go way to the other side of town for that other 10 cubits. Just cut it short. Just cut it short. And you know what would have happened if he cut it short? Do y'all know what would have happened if he cut it short? Everything wouldn't fit and God would be able to see it. See, some of us are cutting short some stuff. And God is seeing it. And then you're wondering why you can't get all this stuff in. I can't work and I can't make it to Bible study. I can't make it to prayer on Thursday. It's just too much. Because you're cutting something short. And most of the time what you're cutting short is God. You ain't going to cut your own self short. You're too selfish for that. So you know what you're cutting short. You're cutting short. God short. How am I cutting him short? I do everything he asked me to do. Do you pay all of your tithes and offerings? You want him to pay you? Income tax time is coming up, and everybody is going to want their full refund, right or wrong. If the IRS don't send you your money, you're going to have a problem with them, right? Right or wrong? I ain't going to tell no lie. I ain't getting one, but I would be mad. The fact I'm not getting one, I'm mad. And I know I owe them. And I'm just praying every time. I hope it come through. I hope it slide through some kind of way. And it never make it on through. We're cutting short, God short But on the other end, we're doing all of us that we want to do. We're making ourselves God when we cut him short, and we give ourselves 100%, but we give God 99%. So who's really God? See, these people, God had already told them how to live. God had showed them what sin was. See, they ain't but four chapters over from Adam and Eve. So they know what disobedience is. They know the effects of disobedience. They've heard Adam and Eve, and it's been passed down from their grandparents and grandparents, parents. And they know that, and I'm pretty sure Adam had told them, you know, I leaned on my own understanding, and it was accredited as sin. And that's why you got to work like heck right now, because I disobeyed. Are you willing to leave that for your kids? Number three, and we got to get out of here. Football is on. God loves football. That's why it's played on Sundays. New beginnings consist of a covenant between God and man. Not between you and your wife. Not between you and your kids, your boss at the job, your probation officer, parole officer, none of that. It's between you and God. Your new beginning starts between you and God, nobody else. You can make New Year's resolutions. I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to stop doing that. You can't stop doing anything without God, the power of the Holy Spirit. The only way you can overcome, I can overcome all of the vices that the world have for us, is the power of the Holy Spirit. See, and I start looking at this thing. See, the ark is a vehicle. And that vehicle is delivering them to a place of salvation, right or wrong. That's the same way Jesus is. See, Jesus is the vehicle. See, because we're supposed to be in Christ. And then that vehicle, it only does what God's word say. So God's word ain't going to say, Carlos, go to this. But the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. I'm giving y'all one now, and this one is free. Because some of you are listening, well, I never heard God speak to me. No, you have heard God speak to you. The good that God would do in his word, when that's tugging at your heart, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. The thing that goes against what God says in his word, that's you, the devil, speaking to you. Okay. Now, I know you all have had teachings on hearing God's voice, and where you're going to hear him through your pastor. That's true. But it's one surefire way. It's one surefire way, and that's the one I'm giving you. When what's inside of you tugging at your heart, if it lines up with God's word, and it usually has to do with goodness, mercy, forgiveness, love, compassion, doing more for others than you do for yourself. That's how you know it's God speaking to you. That's how you know that it's God speaking to you. If it have anything to do with selfishness and self-preservation, and it's only for me, and it's only for my family, and we're better than you are, if it have anything to do with that, that's you, the devil. You are of your father, the devil, and the Holy Spirit is not speaking to you. If it have anything to do with doing others wrong, to make yourself look better, that's you, the devil, speaking to you. If it has anything to do with you dying to self so that somebody else can make it, that's God speaking to you. See, Noah is having to die to self. Noah having to get up every morning and go cut wood. About noontime, he probably eat him a sandwich. His wife probably can't cook, so she probably make him one of them little old tortilla sandwiches, rolled up taco, and send him on out the door. And he probably dragging. About noontime, he eat his sandwich, and then he start dragging the wood back. And then he probably get back about 4 o'clock. And now that's the time some of y'all looking at your clock like, oh yeah, it's time to go home, get a cold one. Mm-hmm, God knows. And he ain't mad at you. You got to outgrow that stuff. And see, then you got to put the wood down. So at 4 o'clock now, he start hammering and nailing. And then about 8 or 9 o'clock, I'm assuming, is it now got the whistle blow. And he punched the time clock of eternity. Now it's time to go home. And then he get home and he got to deal with his wife and his kids and grandkids and babies crying and all of that stuff. And then in the morning, he back up and he back at it again. And I bet you Noah was discouraged. And I bet you Noah was depressed. But I bet you one thing God know that we're learning. That no matter how bad it looks, that in the morning, it's going to be a brighter day. If I would just keep on listening to the voice of God, if I would keep on obeying the instructions of God, somehow this ship is going to turn around and I'm going to receive the goodness for all of my hard work, whether it's here on earth or in eternity. But I'm a firm believer of this, that God ain't going to work. I almost said it. God is not going to work you here on earth and not reward you. I just don't believe God is like that. Because he have all of the riches in heaven and on earth. Now, if he didn't have the earthly riches, we would be looking for heaven. If he didn't have the earthly riches, we wouldn't have nothing to look forward to but up in heaven. But God have riches here on earth and up in heaven. So he can bless you whenever he get ready to with whatever he get ready to. But if he bless you, will your blessing take you away from him? That's why some of us don't get what we ask for. See, when God makes a covenant, it is always to reproduce the life of God. Okay? Everything God do is producing life. Even now, he's fixing to destroy the earth, but he's going to replenish it. Do y'all hear that one? Whenever God makes a covenant with you, it's to bless you. The blessings of God is to reproduce life. Whether it's you speaking life into somebody, you reproducing life in your body, however it is to be a blessing to and produce the life of God. In other words, you work with somebody for years, and all of a sudden, they walk away. And the next time you see them, they're saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And they're thanking you for what you put inside of them. And you didn't even know you were doing anything. All you were doing just being you. That's if Christ lives inside of you. See, most of the time, we don't have time for people like that. They too needy. They too needy. Every time you see them, they got their hand out. The only reason we think like that, because I think like that too sometimes, is because we're selfish. And we don't think that whatever we give to somebody else, God can give it back to us. So we sitting there with a closed fist. Number 4, and we through. A new beginning will always have provisions for the future. It will always have provisions for the future. Look at verse 22. No, 21. He He said, as for you, take for yourself some of all food which is edible. These are godly principles. You know what God is telling him? To store up some food, man. Build you a storage room. But it's not just for you and your family. You're going to have to feed the animals and everybody else. Do you feed everybody that's connected to you? Or do you just give to people that you can get something out of? Look at what the church have made it. Not us. I'm talking about the whole church as a whole. We do not give to people. It's some churches, they won't even give to their congregation members unless they pay their tithes. You can't get nothing out of church. So when you got to go, you got to make an appointment with the church, and then they sit down and go through the books and see how you've been paying your tithe. And if you haven't been paying your tithe, they can't help you. That's not biblical. That's man. Yes, God tell us don't be a fool. You got to be a good steward. You got to make it last. They got to make it last for what, 40 days, 40 nights? I'm pretty sure they had some green soup, you know, green chowder or whatever you call it, just, you know, some water with some grass in it and they just drinking. It put nourishment in their body. They didn't die. Everybody made it off. When the ark landed, I bet you some of them came out of that skinny, weak in the knees, you know, when you be. But they survived it. Why? Because Noah understood that if I obey God, it's going to be provisions for me and everybody that I'm responsible for. It's not always physical provisions. Sometimes it's spiritual provision. Sometimes it's just saying a prayer. Sometimes it got to be physical. Sometimes you got to give to people monetarily. It's not yours anyway. So why do you have such a big deal giving it away? You made yourself God. It belongs to you. And let me tell you where that principle starts at. And I'm fixing to rebuke you now. That starts with you not paying your tithes. If you cannot pay your tithes and give God what belonged to him, you sure can't give it to somebody else. Oh, no. If I won't give it to God and he say, trust me in this, he say, try me in this. He say, and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven. And we see right here in Genesis chapter 6 that he can open up the windows of heaven. If he could make it rain for 40 days and 40 nights, surely he could make a blessing come down. But you cannot do it if you don't believe him. I didn't say believe in him. I said believe him. You cannot do it if you don't trust him. You cannot do it if you don't see his word as your daily instruction booklet. You can't do it. And if you cannot do it, give it to him, you sure can't give it to Chris. Yeah, I know they lights off, but that's what the church is for. These are principles. He's telling us, I blessed you so that you can become a storehouse for everybody else. Not just your family. Noah is having to feed animals. I would say we're throwing the food away, man. Let's kill one of them and eat them. But that's not how God sees it. God said, if you do it, and if you're on the boat for 40 days and 40 nights, I'll make sure you don't run out of food. He did it with the widow woman. You know, to go get a jar. Go get many jars. And the Bible said that all never ran out from her house. as long as that woman lived, all she could put an empty jar down, and in the morning she get up, it was full of oil. Why don't we live like that? To me, I'm ashamed. That bothers me. Why can't I trust him like that? Because when I came to God, I didn't have nothing. I had on one pair of clothes. And I have never ran out of water. It's been tight. But every day, it have always been a new day. And now, all of a sudden, here I am, 16 years later? And I'm looking back 16 years later, and I'm saying, in the beginning, I could trust him with my whole life. And now, 16 years later, that should be like repetition. I should be used to it. It should be a lifestyle by now. That no matter how hard it get, no matter how tough it get, I know that God is going to provide. I know he's going to come through. I know I'm going to overcome. I know my problems are not big as my God. But somehow, some way, something has slipped in there. You know what slipped in there? That old way of thinking. Because I've become somebody now. And I shouldn't have to go through that. I shouldn't have to go through that. I'm more mature than that. And so I should be working on this right now. So I've left the present and haven't dealt with present problems, because they got to be dealt with every day. Because every day you're going to have problems in life. And I'm running toward the future. But that old is still right there. And every day I'm getting up and I'm forgetting that, hey, this is just a reminder. This is just a reminder that he will help me get me through this thing. So whatever the circumstance and situation is, I just need to pocket it and keep on going forward with God with the next instruction and just working on the instructions that he's given. You'll never get anything from God if you're not a giver. Even God is giving his last. You know what God is doing? He's banking on Noah and his family. He don't know if Noah's family is going to do right. He's just operating in God's faith. I know I picked the right man. Right there where you are, let's stand. God is saying, I know I picked the right man. He destroyed everything off the face of the earth. Listen, God destroyed everything that he loved. Because it just wasn't working. What is it in your life that's not working for you that you need to get rid of? Right there where you are, bow your head and close your eyes. And God knew that if he did not destroy it, we would be messed up. We would be so messed up that when Christ came, we wouldn't recognize him. So God had to do it. There's some things in your life you got to destroy. You got to make a decision right now. I'm through with this. I'm through with arguing. I'm through with anger. I'm through with unforgiveness. I'm through with depression. I'm through with discouragement. I'm through with lying. I'm through with not doing right. I'm through with not reading my Bible. I'm through with not praying. I'm through with not having a relationship with my Father. I'm through. All of that stuff have held me back long enough. I'm ready to be new. And then God said, I make all things new. Today is a new day. Today is a new day if you would just open up your heart and open up your mind and say, you know what? I want a new way of thinking. I want a new way of thinking. I understand that everything starts with my thoughts. Everything starts with my thoughts. And I want the mind in me to be like the mind that's in Christ Jesus. God, I give up my way of thinking, and I accept Jesus' way of thinking. I was saying the other day, I said, man, God, why do I always have to be the one to get walked on? It looked like, man, like, man, and then I had to just say, God, you know what? It ain't even about me. Let it be done unto me according to your will. Let it be done unto me according to your will. And it just seemed like the peace of God that surpasses all understanding came over me. It's only for a season. It's only for a season. You gotta be a doormat sometime. Because if people can't wipe that dirt off of their feet, how can they ever enter into the presence of God? So sometimes God wants you to be the doormat that people wipe their feet on so that they can come into his presence. And then he can do the work in their lives that need to be done. I don't know what you have to get rid of. I don't even know what you're looking forward to as far as a new beginning. But if you're looking for a new beginning and you need to lay some stuff at this altar, I'm going to tell you, you come and lay it at the foot of Jesus. If you need to drop some things, lay down some things so you can get something new, I'm going to ask you to come to the altar.
What if you call me and don't feel me near you?
If you're okay and you're fine and
what if life I tell you to let go?
Dealing you to a good hand and you're winning
with it.
Everything
that you think you have to hold.
Good for
will you.
You
trust me? Yes. I'll trust you, Lord. What
he
if
didn't
it costs
say I make
my life?
Things
yes.
New.
I'll trust you,
he
Lord.
Said I make all
what
things
if I lose the very thing I love so dear? Yes.
And everything
starts
with your
you,
way
Lord.
Of seeing things.
Somebody say yes. Come on, put your
they
hand up and say, yes,
Noah.
I'll trust you.
They
Lord.
Couldn't see God building
a
boat that he was taking them into eternity. They missed the boat.
I can hear
today,
Jesus
I'm going to ask you, don't miss the boat. Don't miss
he
the
says
boat.
This.
Get on the boat. Ride with the Lord.
I know the thing is easy.
Say, Lord Jesus,
everything
I realize I'm messed up, God. And I'm laying it down at the feet of Jesus right now. I understand I'm like this.
And when all the
you've allowed me to see it so I could confess it.
Seem to quickly fade.
So today, God, I ask you to forgive me.
There's just
this
one
thing that I'm laying down here, nobody knows about it, just me and you. I don't want
to
pick it up again. I want to take on your way of thinking. I want to take on your way of seeing things. I want to take on your way of living. I want to be the son or daughter you created me to be. The only way that's possible, I got to learn how to know your voice. So Holy Spirit, take control of my life. Teach me how to be the person that God created me to be. I thank you, Father, for allowing me to be a part of your family. In Jesus' name. Amen. Right there where you are. Lift up your hand. No, God, I left it at the altar. My hands are empty. I'm clean, God. I'm clean because of the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary.